This AgriTalk podcast is brought to you by NK Seeds. NK Corn and Soybeans offer growers unique choice and greater value, helping to deliver maximum whole farm ROI potential. Let's see here. Corn, soybeans, spring wheat, cotton, all starting the week with some price gains. And the cattle complex is trading higher after Friday's cattle on feed report. Hogs are higher too. Winter wheat futures are down a bit, but so far, hey, it's a good start to the week.
From the studios of Farm Journal Broadcast, this is AgriTalk, agriculture's national talk show since 1994. Here's your host, Chip Flory.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us again this morning. Welcome to AgriTalk. Congress is on recess for the next couple of weeks leading up to the midterm elections, but that does not mean political issues are taking a break. Man, President Trump is set to square off with what appears to be several thousand that are seeking asylum in the U.S., with a caravan making its way from Guatemala and Honduras up through Mexico with plans to cross the border into the U.S. President Trump says that if Mexico doesn't do something about it, he might pull out of the freshly inked USMCA. Seriously, we're already using it as a tool in these kinds of issues. And would the Trump administration seriously pull out of the Russian nuclear agreement? Man, some heady issues here. And we'll get the latest on these issues and more from pro farmer policy analyst Jim Wiesmeyer in the next segment. And at the bottom of the hour, we'll talk with Lindsey Greiner. Lindsey is president of the Iowa Soybean Association. We're going to talk about how the soybean industry relies on the hog producers and how the hog industry relies on soybean producers. And we'll see where the conversation takes us into the end of the show today. If you've got a question or a comment for us, give us a call at 855-4-TALK-AG. That's 855-482-5524. If you'd rather let us know what you're thinking via Twitter, just include hashtag AgriTalk in the message. And, of course, you can send me an email anytime. It's agritalk@farmjournal.com. Right now, let's turn it over to Clinton Griffiths for an update on the news. First thing I need to know, Clinton.
Yes, sir.
Do you have your tickets bought?
Your
numbers.
Yes.
You absolutely. $1.6 billion?
Oh, I've got my numbers in, buddy. Yep, I did. Went and did it. You know, I'm one of the bandwagon. But you know what they say, Chip? You can't win if you don't play. So
that's exactly how I justified it to myself after I spent $8 the other day.
Well, let's see. I know. Well, as much as I enjoy this gig, Chip, I think if I won $1.6 billion,
yeah,
I might just have to call in from my new jet.
Yeah,
rather than be here every day.
Yeah, the way that I've described is if I win the Powerball, I'm going to leave the office so fast that the vacuum is going to suck the nails out of the walls.
In a hurry. Like one of those old Looney Tune cartoons. Yeah.
Exactly. Everything follows me out the door.
That's so funny.
Well, dude, what's going on?
Well, you know, we're starting this week off with more trade discussions. That's kind of where we're leading things. The U.S., the EU trade officials planning to meet in Washington to work on a new agreement. Hey, that's good news, given all the up and down on trade that we've been talking about over the last 6 months. The goal being quick results on a host of issues. Those talks may be based on some of the prior negotiations that have happened with the EU. You may remember that TTIP deal that was in some previous discussions, although that was never finalized. President Trump and the European Commission President Jean-Claude Juncker agree that they want to avert a trade fight, and they're working towards zero tariffs, zero non-tariff barriers, and zero subsidies on non-auto industrial goods, Chip. It's interesting, and they want to get it done quick.
Dude, if we get a deal done with the EU that is no tariff and everything that you just described, then we can get a deal done with anybody.
Right.
I mean, that's the bottom line.
They've been a tough one to negotiate with, and mostly because of the way it's structured, right? It's not just one country. It's a whole host of countries, and even different regions in those countries have their own opinions. It's tough. It's a tough one to crack. If they do get it done, though, that would be a big win, because the EU is a big block of purchasing power.
Yeah, right. And, you know, you mentioned the non-tariff trade barriers.
Right.
I wonder if that includes hormone beef.
Well, you know, it ought to. I mean, I know we've been in that discussion for a long
time. GMOs.
Yeah. We got a new assessment from Georgia state officials on the damage to the ag industry from Hurricane Michael. It's up to $3 billion. The ag commissioner there, Gary Black, says the generational losses are unprecedented, and it's going to take unprecedented ideas and actions to help families recover in those areas. So even though that storm's over, we need to be thinking about those folks down there in Georgia, Florida Panhandle. It's going to be a long road. Timber, $1 billion in timber damage in that area, not to mention the cotton, peanuts, poultry, pecans also hit. So a big price tag still building down there.
Yeah. Yeah. That timber industry, that was the one that when we were talking with reps from the Georgia Farm Bureau, that was one that I honestly, Clinton, I hadn't really even given it that much thought.
Yeah, I know. I've seen it. I've been down there. When you fly in and out of those states, you see that timber all planted down in that area. Absolutely.
Yep. Yeah, and it is a big deal. There's no question about it.
China continuing to deal with an outbreak, Chip, of that African swine flu. They've actually found some two new cases in the Yunnan province in southwest China. That's kind of the first cases of the disease in the key pork-consuming region of the country.
Yeah.
But still, we're talking about China's culled about 200,000 pigs from its herd. They process 700 million pigs a year.
Yeah,
in that country. So we're a long, long way from hitting big, big numbers, but it continues. You know, this is it is not going away yet.
Well, and it is having a bit of an impact on the availability of pork and the price of pork.
Right.
So when you look at the the potential impact that it has on the consumers there. If it leads to civil unrest, then they're going to have to find ways to put more pork in the meat case.
Absolutely.
And and not just more pork, but affordable pork in the meat case.
Yeah, I think that's key there. It's not just more, but affordable, things that people can buy. So.
Yeah, that is absolutely right. And as long as as long as that is a potential happening, I mean, if we're talking about it, Clinton, you know that they're talking about it in the White House, in the trade meetings and everything, and kind of sitting back and thinking, you know what, if we can just wait here a little bit longer, maybe, just maybe, China will realize that they need to come to the negotiating table on their own on this one. And it's kind of a backdoor way of getting China into the talks.
Yeah, I know. One more interesting thing here, Chip. There was a new study came out asking people about the biggest concerns in rural areas. A quarter of rural Americans say opioid and other drug abuses is the biggest problem facing local communities. 21% say economic concerns are the biggest problems. Nothing else even comes close to those two. I found that pretty fascinating. You know, we don't talk about that issue as much as we probably should on our programs, but a big concern for people out there weighing on their minds day in, day out.
Right. Yeah, there's no question about it. And we see people dealing with it all the time.
I know.
You know, it's one that struck way too close to my home here not that long ago.
Yep.
And boy, I tell you what, you see the pain that it causes. And we need to do something about it. And Clinton, this is something that I've decided that we need to talk about more on AgriTalk. And
fantastic.
So we're going to be doing that in the weeks ahead. All right. Thanks, buddy.
Yeah, you bet. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. That is Clinton Griffiths, host of Ag Day. Coming up next, we've got Pro Farmers Jim Wiesmeyer right here on AgriTalk.
It's Digging Deeper with the Mosaic Company, the show where two agronomy experts take your questions about crop nutrition. Here are your hosts, Kurt Woolfolk and Ross Bender, senior agronomists from the Mosaic Company.
Hi, this is Kurt.
And this is Ross. And today we're answering the questions you sent us on social media.
This one comes in from Twitter. What's the best product on the market for boosting sulfur levels?
Boosting sulfur levels in a soil is actually a fairly difficult task, so we need to find a source that can keep it available for longer.
MicroEssentials with Fusion technology contains two forms of sulfur, sulfate sulfur for early season crop needs, and elemental sulfur that takes time over the growing season for season-long sulfur availability to that plant.
Today, what we know is that our crops not only need greater quantities of nutrients, they need to be available for longer, and any practice you can use to keep that available for longer will help. MicroEssentials is a tool in the toolbox to help you do that.
Have any questions you want Kurt and Ross to tackle? Tweet to us at MicroEssentials on Twitter or send us a message on Facebook. And to learn more about smart crop nutrition, visit MicroEssentials.com.
They say to really know a man, you have to walk a mile in his boots. Well, my channel Seedsman has logged more miles than I can count in mine. As crops grow, so does his commitment to making sure there's nothing overlooked. And come harvest, we celebrate in the cab. Him working away, making plans for next season. Look, anybody can sell you seed. Only a Channel Seedsman gives you everything you need to make the most of it. Find yours at channel.com/boots.
Current price times 1,000 acres, carry the one.
These days, it's hard to make the math work for your soybean fields. The BASF Liberty Link system with Liberty Herbicide makes it easier. Start with a 2-plus bushel per acre yield advantage. Add in lower system input costs and more complete weed control, and you get an extra $33 or more profit potential per acre compared to Asgrow Roundup Ready 2 Extend soybeans. Grow smart with Liberty Link and BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
Joining me now is Joe Bowman, NK Corn Product Manager, to talk about what's new with NK Corn. Give me some details on the NK Corn performance.
Yeah, so the new launches here, the 32 new hybrids, you know, if you look at them against the major brands in the industry, they're out-yielding Pioneer by 5.4 bushels per acre and out-yielding Decal by about 4.4 bushels per acre. And we've had a strong increase in the rate of genetic gain over the last decade or so, and that's really due to the diverse germplasm that we have. We have a number of different genetics to work with, so we can combine and make the best hybrids in the industry to fit the acres that any grower may have. And that's really the strength of the NK portfolio, is being able to fit hybrids for any type of acre that you may have.
Yeah, that's very important, obviously. And because of that, I'm sure that the trials are all done on it's an apples to apples comparisons, and we're looking at the performance of NK against the other challengers out there in very similar conditions.
Yes, so this is working through our research and development trials, so replicated trials all throughout the United States, setting them up, randomizing them, and treating them as truly an independent trial, making sure that it's true apples to apples comparison, because that's really important for us as we're bringing new products into the market. We don't want to have that experience of having a strong initial launch and then a grower not having a good experience once they get into the marketplace and start putting them on their farm on their own.
That was Joe Bowman, Corn Product Manager for NK. To learn more, visit nkcorn.com.
You're listening to AgriTalk, where the conversation begins.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm your host, Chip Flory. Let's find out what's going on with the weather this week. Michael Clark's a meteorologist at BAMWX.com, joins me now. Michael, good morning. How are you today?
I'm good, Chip. How you doing?
I'm doing just fine, primarily because the sun is shining here in northeast Iowa. It got a little cold overnight again, but we've got a pretty good week in front of us, don't we?
We do. We do have a good week in front of us. You know, we had winds come through over the weekend here in Indy that gusted up to 61 miles per hour. And so we're just coming off of an absolutely brutal pattern over the weekend, but a nice week ahead, a cold week, but a nice week coming.
Yeah, the next chance for rain really doesn't slide into the forecast until when? Over the weekend?
Well, really, there's a weak front this weekend, but really the next best chance of rain is going to come at the end of the month. Now, getting into week two, there's a bigger front coming through that could bring a more widespread inch or so of rain with a big cold front again. Maybe a wind maker, too. We got to keep an eye on that. But for now, the next few days, calm and cool.
Yeah, calm and cool. That is exactly what the guys, I think, want to hear out there that are trying to get this corn and soybean crop in the bin. You said towards the end of the month. I do want to ask about Canada, because they've been struggling to harvest that crop up in Canada as well. Conditions pretty decent up there, Michael?
Yeah, I mean, you're going to be dealing with the cold up there. There's no question. Now, into week two, though, they actually start to get a little bit warmer than normal. They'll be welcoming in some warmer temperatures, cool, especially into the northern plains and into the Canadian prairies. So not as bad. But when that front comes through at the end of the month into October, I'm a little worried about that front coming through. So let's keep an eye on that one for sure.
Yeah. You know, it was funny this morning when I checked the temperature maps early today. Anchorage was warmer than like places down in North Carolina and Tennessee. It's kind of a crazy pattern that we've got right now.
I think it's a hint of what the winter may have in store. But if it's hot in Alaska, it's cold in the U.S., and that's a great sign of knowing how to look at this pattern. And if we've got these indications this early, I'm a little bit of a clue of what winter might be like.
I do not like hearing that at all.
I'm sorry.
But Michael, I always enjoy talking with you. Thanks, buddy. We'll talk to you later.
Thank you, Chip.
You bet. Let's bring in Pro Farmer Policy Analyst Jim Wiesmeyer. Jim, how are you at the start of the week?
Pretty good. All things considered, it's Washington.
Yeah, it is Washington, but Congress is on recess. Doesn't mean that there's any lack of things to talk about. I want to start with something just a little bit, that maybe people wouldn't expect us to talk about. But what's the latest with Saudi Arabia here and the investigation into the death of American journalist, Khashoggi?
Yes, it is the focus in town. Other than that immigration caravan, down south, from both political parties, and the Trump and his administration is under significant pressure to react, Chip. And it's a wild card in markets, because if you go too far, then Saudi Arabia will react perhaps in the energy environment. And I don't have to tell you how important energy is to U.S. agriculture.
Yeah, absolutely. Right now, we've got crude oil prices just under a little bit of pressure here today. The Dow is under pressure, but you've got the NASDAQ is trading higher. S&P 500 is nearly unchanged right now. And those are a couple of the markets that I would look at for some kind of an indication that Saudi Arabia is getting ready to do something in retaliation. But the status right now is we've got to wait for the Turkish officials to wrap up their investigation and let us know what they know, right?
Yeah, the country's president is going to unveil his comments and their investigation tomorrow, Chip. So we'll have news there. Secretary Mnuchin is talking with the Saudis over there today. So, at least talks are going on at somewhat highest level. So this thing is definitely far away from playing out.
Okay, the other one that you already mentioned, Jim, is that immigrant caravan making its way from Guatemala, Honduras, up through Mexico. They have full intentions of getting to the U.S.-Mexico border and crossing into the U.S. This is a big-time challenge for the Trump administration, isn't it?
Yes, and both not only from an election perspective, because Trump said late last week, immigration, in one of his tweets, is far more important to me, he said, as president, than trade. Now, that was an eye-opener to me. That's why I led off with it on ProFarmer.com today. Now, they can cite with their polls going into these November 6th elections how many of the base in the Republican Party are more than upset of what's going on south of the border. Now, there's geopolitics involved as well, because Trump today already said that he's going to rescind some of the aid to these countries sending, these people over here. So it has multiple layers, Chip.
Yeah. Yeah. And how, boy, how this develops, it is going to be a major issue in the elections as we get there. And you mentioned polls. Did I see right that Trump's approval rating is going up?
It's going up just shy, right in the 47-49% area. And that's actually above the level both Obama and Reagan had at this particular time in their presidencies.
Yeah.
So that's of note here. And this is why I think you're seeing the odds increase that the Republicans will maintain control of the Senate, if not add a seat or two. And it's getting closer in the House. With all the political experts, however, are still signaling that the Democrats should regain control of the House.
Yeah. You know, Jim, it is not unusual when you've got the House, the Senate, and the White House under one political party, when you get to that midterm election, it is not unusual for the American people to say, listen, that's too much control in one party's hands. Let's at least move one chamber of Congress to the opposite party of the White House, at least, right?
Absolutely. It's called checks and balances.
Yeah.
But the key is, independents will always decide close elections, and we're going to see this both in the Senate and the House. Now, the key, the Republicans' potential savior of a major surprise in the House would be if enough independents don't hear what they want to hear of how the Democrats, some of their key issues once they control the House chamber. And I think that's what I would listen for in the weeks ahead going into November the 6th. Watch the independent vote. Watch the Democratic message. Rather than just say no, what are they going to focus on?
Okay, a couple of things that are just starting to be talked about this morning, I think. What is this talk of a middle-class tax cut before the elections?
It's pure Trump 101. He said he's going to, a major tax cut for middle income people is coming in 10 days. Well, Congress is out until after November the 6th. So this will be an initiative. But that means that their polls must show that even though the vast majority of middle income people got tax cuts, they want to de-emphasize the tax cuts in the next one, if there is one, on the business side that won't get any additional cuts, and they want to propose additional tax cuts for the low to middle income people categories. But Congress has to go along, and I just don't see this happening, Chip. But this is pure politics, and Trump knows how to play that card.
Yeah, he's playing it well right now. No doubt about it. Okay, and then Russia and the nuclear agreement. This is something that I thought was taboo to even talk about.
Well, and that's very Trump. He takes on issues that you wouldn't think he would. He's said he's going to pull America out of that nuclear deal that we signed with Russia in 1987. Now, to be fair to Trump, for years Russia didn't hold up to some of those terminology. So
right. This
is what Trump, I know, will say behind the scenes, saying, look, we're fed up with this. Other presidents and both political parties let you go. We're not. So that's why you have John Bolton, he's our national security advisor, is in Moscow as we speak, conferring with President Putin on this and other topics.
Cleaning up another mess that was left by previous administrations. That's going to be his rhetoric, isn't it?
Yes, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt about it. Real quick, what else are you watching this week?
Well, China, I want to point, the China watchers I talk with and listen to are saying they believe that China believes that Trump is bluffing, that they're going to wait until after the November elections. But if they don't see any bluffing come into fore, then you're going to maybe up the odds that Xi is going to have to change his tone come that November 29th summit with Trump.
Very cool. Thanks, Jim. Appreciate it, buddy.
Sure.
All right, that's Pro Farmer Policy Analyst Jim Wiesmeyer. We got Lindsey Greiner coming up next.
No matter what you do, you're always raising the bar, trying to do better than ever. New DeLauro fungicide for corn and soybeans can help you get the edge you're looking for. DeLauro has a broader spectrum of disease control and best-in-class dual mode of action residual. Plus, it improves plant health, so your top-performing hybrids and varieties will have the protection they need to help you achieve your personal best yields. DeLauro from Bayer. Keep raising the bar. Always read and follow label instructions.
Oh, hey, bro. I'm an off-brand tractor filter. You know, the one they're practically giving away at the farm store. So a lot of people choose me to filter their precious oil, fuel, or air, but I don't work as hard as your tractor's OEM filter. I am under-engineered and made from cheaper components, so dust and contaminants, they're your problem, brah.
Off-brand filters are not John Deere filters. OEM filters are engineered for maximum performance in your John Deere machine. Don't risk it with anything less.
Time for Markets Now with the experts from Pro Farmer.
And Pro Farmer Senior Market Analyst Jeff Wilson joins us now. Jeff, I want to start with the cattle trade today, if we could, because that cattle on feed report's got the market pointed to the upside, and especially the feeder cattle trade.
I think that's because, number one, we have fewer cattle that went on feed than expected last month, so that's got the live cattle up. But more importantly, the quarterly numbers in that report also showed 11% fewer heifers on feed than a year ago. Another indication that we haven't seen any type of expansion going on for the last four quarters. And I'm also starting to hear some talk that some of those death losses that we saw last spring in the calf crop in South Dakota, North Dakota, Montana, Wyoming, even Nebraska, they're starting to show up in smaller calf numbers showing up at the auctions.
Gosh, I mean, that's the first time that we'd be taking some pressure off the market from the supply side in quite some time. That's some pretty encouraging news. We've got a little bit of strength going in corn and soybeans. What's going on there?
Not too much. It's pretty quiet. The markets are just kind of bouncing back from last week's disappointing losses. I think there's still a lot of concerns about what kind of damage those excessive rains. And then this weekend, we had some big winds come through. It knocked down some corn and beans. And people are just trying to figure out exactly how much loss might have occurred. You talk to 10 different farmers, you get 10 different answers on how much damage occurred. So the markets are taking a wait-and-see approach, and that means you don't want to sell into a market that's already down after last week.
Yeah, and we've got wheat under some pressure here.
Not too much going on there either. Just we need to see exports improve, and they're not.
Yeah.
Export inspections this past week were very light.
Gotcha. Thank you, Jeff. That is Pro Farmer Senior Market Analyst Jeff Wilson. We've got hogs trading slightly higher this morning as well.
Hi, I'm Ag Day host Clinton Griffiths, and I invite you to join me each morning as we cover the nation's food system, from fields of green to orchards of orange and livestock everywhere in between. America runs on agriculture, and here at Ag Day, agriculture's what we do best. Listen as our analysts track the markets, learn about innovations in technology and sustainability, and live the country lifestyle through the eyes of rural America. Join me, Clinton Griffiths, for Ag Day, the country experience.
Control your destiny in a challenging dairy industry at Farm Journal Media's Milk Business Conference, November 5th through the 7th in Las Vegas. Walk away with a competitive edge from insights on market trends and innovative ideas to optimize your dairy business. Register today to network with fellow dairy owners at milkbusinessconference.com.
You're listening to AgriTalk, 1 hour every day, just ag. It's all we do. Join the conversation.
And welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. I'm your host, Chip Flory. Let's talk about what's going on in this soybean trade and what's going on in the soybean industry. We've got Lindsey Greiner. Lindsey is president of the Iowa Soybean Association. Lindsey, welcome to AgriTalk. How are you?
Well, I'm doing well. Nice to be with you, Chip.
Yeah, I'm glad that you're here. You're from Kyoto, right?
That's right.
Southwest of Iowa City?
Well, yeah, it's a little bit southwest of Iowa City, about 30 miles. I live right on the county line between Keokuk and Washington County.
All right. How's things looking down there?
Well, the last week's been really good. We've had a nice stretch of weather. There's a lot of corn and soybeans being harvested, and today's a beautiful day, and it's this is the kind of weather you hope for when you're trying to get a crop put away.
Yeah, no doubt. Hey, lots of big expectations on this bean crop. I'm not going to ask you to give away all the numbers from the yield monitor, but what are you seeing? Is it pretty good?
Yeah, yields are good. You know, the yields are running on our farm anyway, all the way from the high 50s to around 70. You know, kind of everywhere in between there. So yields are good. There are some quality issues, especially with the earlier maturing beans. In our area, for instance, late group twos would be considered kind of an early variety. And some of those, you know, were fit. They were ready to cut maybe 4 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And it just rained all the time and we couldn't get them. And there are some quality issues in those. Then you get into, like a mid group three or something that wasn't quite mature when the rain started, they're in really good shape.
Yeah. Yeah. Lindsay, on those early maturing beans, those group twos, there was all kinds of pictures out there of some beans sprouting in the pod, pods cracking open, leaving beans on the ground. Are you seeing that?
Well, on our farm, I did see some. There were some beans that sprouted in the pods. Now, we didn't have any pods splitting open, so we pretty Good. Well got most everything was there. But I have talked to other farmers that are leaving some beans in the field. So I think yeah. some of those issues could be, variety specific.
Yeah. You know, and in a year where you've got to get every bushel because, you know, every bushel is another 82 and a half cents of that market facilitation program payment. And you add that to the cash values that are available and some other sources of income on it. And you got to get every bushel that you possibly can this year, don't you?
Well, you do this year at the prices we're looking at. You know, we're a buck and a half to $2 lower than, you know, we had an opportunity to get just 6 months ago. And so you do need good yields. It's kind of a double-edged sword, though. You bring in a crop, you know, I don't know if this crop's getting bigger or smaller or what it's doing, but you're estimating a 4.7 billion bushel soybean crop. And I mean, that's just a huge crop. So so the chances of prices going up very much are kind of limited.
Yeah. Yeah. No doubt. I mentioned the MFP payment and every time I do, Lindsay, I make myself cringe when I mention it because you'd rather get that revenue from the market. We need to get this situation with China fixed.
Well, that's kind of been my mantra, I guess, for the last few months. You know, I haven't talked to one farmer that's all that excited about getting this government payment. Yeah. We'd rather see get our markets back. We, you know, I said, well, the hammer really hasn't dropped yet on the full effect as far as economics to the farmers because we still got to market this crop that we're bringing in. You know, we had chances to get last year's crop sold at pretty decent prices. So I said, farmers are, you know, by and large, kind of behind some of the aspects of this trade war. But I think we're going to start running out of patience, especially when it comes time to think about putting next year's crop in and all that. So I think that I know I would love to see a deal get done, and I don't think I'm the only one that feels that way.
No, I know that for a fact. I know that. In the meantime, Lindsay, we are doing a heck of a job of using up a lot of soy product, right here in the domestic market. You're also a hog producer, right?
That's right. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. And that hog industry in the state of Iowa, it's just an incredible source of demand for soybean meal. And one kind of feeds off the other, doesn't it?
Well, you know, they're our biggest customer here in Iowa for sure. And, I always tell people that I think pork production is kind of the backbone of Iowa. It's the way that you can bring young guys in. It's more labor intensive, not as much as it was 40 years ago, but it still takes a pretty strong hand to work with hogs. And I think that it's extremely important to soybean farmers and corn farmers too. I mean, they go through a lot of feed. So I think it works real well, especially, you know, you talk about nutrient management. We have manure. We manage that manure to grow the next year's crop. The big buzzword lately has been sustainability.
Sustainability.
And livestock and crop farming. It's a perfect perfect story to talk about sustainable farming.
Yeah. You know, Lindsay, I've had several guys ask me about what I think about putting up a hog building. Is it a good idea? And you know, you got to go through all the questions. Are you going to own the pigs or are you going to feed them on contract? Lots of things that need to be considered as you're doing it. But the expansion in this hog industry, I don't know, Lindsay, are we looking at more upgrades of facilities or are we expanding our ability to finish hogs in the state of Iowa?
Well, we're expanding. I don't think there's any question about that. I don't think we're expanding as a rapid a rate as we were maybe 5 years ago, but there are some of the key players in the as far as owning hogs are adding sow farms, and so they need finishing spaces to take care of those hogs. So we're seeing some expansion.
Yeah. It's a heck of an investment right up front, but boy, if you're feeding those hogs on contract, and I've heard people say, well, you know, if you're feeding them on contract, it's not a lot different than working a job in town. You show up, you get a paycheck, but there's more to it than that, because you've got the well-being of those animals that you're responsible for.
Well, most every we contract feed hogs, and so yep. I know a lot of people that do, and I would say that everybody that does it takes, they consider them their hogs.
Right.
They take care of them like they own them, because it's how we make our living. It's our livelihood. We're in charge of giving them good care, taking care of them, and doing things the right way. And I don't know anybody that doesn't look at it like that, doesn't take ownership in it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, Lindsay, so far we've talked about one product from that soybean meal and going into hog feed, but our soybean oil demand has been really pretty good here in the second half of the year, and a lot of that's got to do with biodiesel, I think, doesn't it?
Well, it does. You know, we're constantly going to Washington, D.C., and even in the capital in Des Moines, and talking to our legislators about the importance of biodiesel, how important it is to not only soybean farmers, but it's important to livestock farmers. I used to have the numbers on the top of my head, but it adds $2 or $3 to the value of a hog carcass. It benefits cattle producers. It's just a really, I call it kind of an amazing product, because it's environmentally friendly. It's renewable. I just don't see a lot of minuses behind it now. You know, oil companies, they don't care much for it, but it's been a real boost to the ag economy, I know, here in the Midwest.
Yeah, you know, and soybean oil is such a versatile product. There are so many outside of it showing up in a jug of cooking oil in the grocery store. There are so many uses that people just wouldn't think about for how that soybean oil is being used. Lindsay, what's at the top of the priority list there at Iowa Soybean Association?
Well, you know, the trade war is always a topic of conversation, but I'd say what we're spending a lot of our effort on right now is working on other markets other than China. You know, we're working on European markets, Middle Eastern markets, Southeast Asia, those smaller customers that, you know, we have spent so much time and effort working on China, and it's a challenge right now. You know, they're not buying much. If they are, they're buying it in a roundabout way. So we're spending a lot of effort into working on some of these other smaller markets to gain back some of these exports.
Yeah, Lindsay, and there are some success stories when we talk about those quote unquote other markets. I mean, Taiwan, Vietnam, South Korea, they're all good buyers of our product.
Yeah, well, the Taiwanese were just in Des Moines a couple weeks ago and signed a big agreement. They're going to expand their imports of beans from us by 37%. You know, that's all encouraging news. We've got a deal, the Canada-Mexico deal. Mexico's a great customer for United States soybeans. There are markets in the Middle East that people are kind of unaware of how much they're using, but it's not all gloom and doom, but there's a lot of work to be done.
Yeah. Well, Lindsay, hey, good luck to you with the rest of the harvest. How much have you got left to get out of the field?
We're down to probably about 200 acres of beans, so we need today and tomorrow and Wednesday probably, and we can wrap it up, because we got to move to a couple different farms. But Yep. I'm hoping by Wednesday night we're almost done with soybeans.
Well, if Michael Clark from BAMWX is right, you're going to have clear weather to get her done. Lindsay, thank you so much for joining us.
Find it now at shopfarmjournal.com. Brand new to the shop is the best of tractor tales, as seen each week on U.S. Farm Report. This two DVD set features dozens of classic machines and the collectors who bring them back to life. You'll get one DVD that's all green, the best of John Deere. The second DVD includes classics like Alice Chalmers and many more. Buy one DVD for $29.95 or buy the set for $49.95. Order today at shopfarmjournal.com or call toll-free 877-847-9599. You can find it now at shopfarmjournal.com.
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
Go behind the scenes of Ag Day and get straight talk on the issues pushing agriculture. Introducing Farm Sense, a new podcast from Ag Day host Clinton Griffiths.
Join me each week as I go beyond the headlines and get personal. My goal is to take a common sense approach to tackling real life problems. Perspective rooted in my rural upbringing and featuring some of the best minds agriculture has to offer.
Farm Sense with Clinton Griffiths is available where you access your favorite podcast, iTunes, Google Play, and now the new AgriTalk app.
Hi, I'm Ag Day host Clinton Griffiths, and I invite you to join me each morning as we cover the nation's food system, from fields of green to orchards of orange and livestock everywhere in between. America runs on agriculture, and here at Ag Day, agriculture's what we do best. Listen as our analysts track the markets, learn about innovations in technology and sustainability, and live the country lifestyle through the eyes of rural America. Join me, Clinton Griffiths, for Ag Day, the country experience.
In farming, getting things done early has a way of setting you up for success, like using Corvus for an early season win over weeds. Corvus keeps even the toughest weeds from gaining a foothold. Multiple sites of action deliver superior control of emerged weeds. And later, Corvus reactivates with just a half inch of rain to take out any new weeds that may have sprouted. So get an early season win against weeds with Corvus for end of season rewards. Always read and follow label instructions. Corvus is a restricted use pesticide.
Farmers are busy harvesting across the country, and most are using the data they collect to evaluate the outcome of the products and the inputs that were used on each field this year. Channel Seedsman Adam Piggott from Cleghorn, Iowa, is here to tell us about the Channel Field Checkup Series using field data and the Channel Custom Crop Report. Adam, give us an overview of the Channel Field Checkup Series.
The Field Checkup Series is a series of on-farm visits conducted by a seedsman during crucial stages such as seedling, vegetative, reproductive, and maturity stages. Seedsmen utilize Climate Field View to collect the data so they can include very crucial information and share that with the grower.
So you've got all this data coming in from the field. How do the Channel Seedsmen then turn that around and put it to use for their growers?
Seedsmen are using digital tools such as Climate Field View for the Channel Field Checkup Series to really help us document observations from farmers' fields and to communicate that through digital technology to the grower.
All right, tell me a little bit more about Field View and how the Channel Field Checkup Series works.
First, the farmer needs to share his data through Field View with his channel seedsman. A seedsman will then compile all the data throughout the season and create a custom crop report to send to that grower. That crop report can really be sent at any time. I like to send my custom crop reports after collecting all the data through the season and get that to the guys after the maturity stage of Field Checkup Series.
Gotcha. All right. Thanks, Adam. Next time we'll hear more about how the Channel Custom Crop Report is used to begin planning for next season's crops. Farmers can learn more about the Channel Field Checkup Series at channel.com. And you can find Channel on Twitter and Facebook. Just search Channel Seed.
No two operations are the same. Luckily, when it comes to parts and maintenance products, they don't have to be. For parts of any age machine, any make, and any budget, your John Deere dealer has you covered. There's our genuine John Deere parts for top quality OEM replacements, John Deere reman parts for OEM quality at a more affordable price, and high quality, economy priced aftermarket parts by A&I and Sunbelt. So for the right part at the right price, even if you run equipment that isn't green and yellow, see your John Deere dealer today.
Your John Deere service department has a lot to offer. And now, OEM ag parts installed by an authorized dealer carry a 12-month warranty. Visit johndeere.com/parts warranty for details.
And welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. Hey, it's an open segment, so give us a call. Give us a call if you've got anything that you want to talk about. It's 855-4TALK-AG. That's 855-482-5524. You can also tweet at us. Just make sure that you include hashtag AgriTalk in the message. That way I'll be sure to see it. What would make you either leave your family or pack them on your back and walk the length of Mexico? During the break, I was checking the news again, and they're showing that caravan that is making its way up through Mexico. People from Honduras, people from Ecuador, people from Guatemala, they have decided that life in their home country has turned so sour that it is time to pack it up, walk the length of Mexico in the hopes of finding a better life in the United States. I mean, to me, each individual story, and you know that mixed in there are some people that we do not want in this country. I know that there are. But the majority of those people, you just have it's sad. It is such a sad story that they are making this trek in this caravan, trying to find a better life. And Congress has got to do something. They have got to do something to address these issues and to get them to some sort of an agreement on this in the current state of affairs, in our current political state. That's going to be very, very difficult to do. I don't think there's any question about it. Okay. Blake wants to talk about it. Blake is calling in from Kansas. How are you, Blake? Thanks for joining us on AgriTalk.
Yeah, doing pretty good today. Yeah, I was just curious on this whole ordeal with the mass migration of people coming up from Honduras. What do they think they're going to accomplish when they get here? I mean, do they really think they're just going to walk right in, or?
Blake, that is a great question, and they're not. They're not going to just walk right in. President Trump is ramping up his pressure on the Mexican leadership, saying, "Listen, before they get to the border, you need to do something with these people that are making this trek through the country." But what are they, you know, what they're trying to accomplish, they're trying to accomplish a better life. And like I just said, I am not naive enough to think that there are no bad people in this, what is estimated at something between 6,000 and 7,000, immigrants that are making their way up through Mexico. I'm sure that there are some people in that group that we do not want in this country. But what about the people?
Surely.
Yeah, but what about the people? What about the people that will make a good contribution to the U.S. Economy? What do we do with them, Blake? I don't know.
No, I'm 100%. You know, I'm all for, you know, reformed immigration and people coming here legally. I have no problem with somebody, you know, trying to better their life. That's fine and dandy. I just think it's kind of ironic this happens right before a big election. You know, I just shouldn't say a big election, but, you know, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of lot of stuff getting aside. I almost wonder if it isn't some sort of political stunt. And I'm not Democrat. I'm not Republican. I'm an independent. What's right is right. And what I feel is, you know, honestly right. You know, that's what I think should happen. But I don't know. I mean, it's just kind of. I guess. Yeah. I mean, yeah. No, I definitely think there are some valuable people. I mean, there are a lot of jobs in agriculture. Hell, the oil field right now. Everybody's looking for, you know, workers. So I mean, we could probably use a surplus of some workers. You know, immigrants if they were willing to work hard and do a good job. But yeah, I don't know. It just kind of blows my mind that you know.
Yeah, that, you know, that's what I started off by saying. What would make you either leave your family or pack them on your back and decide that you're going to walk the length of Mexico and hope that when you get there, you get a better life? So, I mean, if it is politically motivated, this is the most coordinated effort that I've ever seen in my life to get people to put themselves through this.
Yeah, no, I agree. I'm 100% with you on that. I mean, I just don't know. It doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, it does. It blows my mind too. You know, and Blake, until you start seeing pictures of it, you think to yourself, "Oh, come on, how many could it be?" And then you start seeing pictures of it, and that line stretches on forever, and they're trying to cover like 25 miles a day, and they've got little ones with them. If they're putting themselves through this, like you just said, Blake, how bad is it? How bad is it at home? Oh, man, I can't even imagine. Blake, thank you so much for the call.
No, I appreciate it. Thank you for your time. Have a good morning.
You bet. You too, man. You too. Okay, even with that said, I think for people like Blake, for people like Lindsay, maybe the most important thing that we talked about was that weather forecast today. And I'm not saying that what Jim talked about isn't important, because it is important, especially when we think about everything that needs to take place. And when we talk about some political maneuvering, this tax cut that the Trump administration is talking about here this morning, boy, I would love to see it happen. But I just have no idea how he's going to make it happen before the elections. I just don't see how that's going to happen. So, all right. Hey, thanks for listening today. Thanks to Jim Wiesmeyer from Pearl Farmer and to Lindsay Greiner from the Iowa Soybean Association for joining us today. Come back this afternoon for AgriTalk After the Bell. I'll be talking with Christine McCracken. We're going to be talking about the protein supply. Primarily the pork supply in the country and the poultry supply in the country, and broiler meat in particular, because boy, we're talking about a lot of supply coming to the market right now. And tomorrow morning on AgriTalk, we're going to have more on the economic impacts of that hurricane season down in the southeast U.S. You all have a great day. This is AgriTalk.
No two operations are the same. Luckily, when it comes to parts and maintenance products, they don't have to be. For parts of any age machine, any make, and any budget, your John Deere dealer has you covered. There's our genuine John Deere parts for top quality OEM replacements, John Deere reman parts for OEM quality at a more affordable price, and high quality, economy priced aftermarket parts by A&I and Sunbelt. So for the right part at the right price, even if you run equipment that isn't green and yellow, see your John Deere dealer today.
They say to really know a man, you have to walk a mile in his boots. Well, my channel Seedsman has logged more miles than I can count in mine. As crops grow, so does his commitment to making sure there's nothing overlooked. And come harvest, we celebrate in the cab. Him working away, making plans for next season. Look, anybody can sell you seed. Only a channel Seedsman gives you everything you need to make the most of it. Find yours at channel.com/boots.
Thanks to NK Seeds for sponsoring the AgriTalk podcast. Talk to your local NK retailer about adding a science-driven boost to your seed portfolio.